The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now, my next guest is an award-winning author who in the past 20 years has published 11 novels for adults, a short story collection, as well as 6 novels for younger readers, including The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, a New York Times number one bestseller that has been adapted into a feature film, a play, a ballet and an opera. His latest novel, A Traveller at the Gates of Wisdom, is a tale, I suppose, of human nature, of fragility and how we're all linked to one another, irrespective of time or space. And John Boyne joins us now in our studio. John, good morning and welcome.
Hi, Pat.
Now, this is truly an extraordinary book. It took me a little while to get to what you were at because I'm starting the book and it's set in AD 1, in other words, the first year after the birth of Christ. It's set in Palestine and I meet your character who's got a dad called Marinus and a mother called Floriana. And then I get to the second chapter and I'm in Turkey and I think I'm with the same character, but I'm sorry, his father's name is Marek and his mother's name is Falami. Yeah. What is going on? John, please explain.
Well, the idea of the book at the start was that in my head, I wanted to see, could I write a novel that's spread itself across 2,000 years, well, 2,080 years, actually, in total, with one narrative voice, and not as a reincarnation, but to that every time I would switch country and switch time in history, that the narrator's experiences of life would be exactly the same as every narrator that has gone before. Because what I was trying to get to was this idea that while the world keeps changing through these centuries, these two millennia, that our human emotions and our experiences really have, they really kind of stay the same all the way. Yeah.
The idea being that if someone falls in love in 240 AD, they experience the same sort of feelings as someone who falls in love in 1942, that sort of thing. And the human frailties, the strengths and weaknesses, the cruelties, the kindnesses pass through time.
Yeah, and I think we all probably feel that our lives and our experiences are so unique and important, but they're probably not that much different maybe than the lives and experiences of people since the dawn of time. And I thought it was kind of just an interesting idea of following emotion rather than just a character. Follow emotion through 2,000 years.
The opening of your book is one of the most dramatic I've ever read. And I shall just read the first paragraph, short. On the night that I was born, my father, Marinus, left our home while my mother was in labour and over the 8 hours that followed, slaughtered a dozen infant boys, the sons of our neighbours and friends, each one under the age of 2 years. Wow.
Yeah,
this is King Herod in action, basically.
I'm a big believer that you've got to grab the reader in that opening sentence. You know, I remember when I wrote This House is Haunted, the opening line was, I blame Charles Dickens for the death of my father. And I like those kind of big dramatic moments. You know, it's the rest of the book that, you know, you have to worry about. But the first sentence and the last sentence, you know, they're so crucial.
When I look at the way this goes, and it goes through sort of generations, every, 40 years or so, you go to a different location. So at the beginning, as I mentioned, we're in Palestine, and then we're in Turkey, Romania, Iran, Italy. In part two, then, from the year 214 AD, Switzerland, Somalia, South Korea. Then you're on to Eritrea, Cyprus, Guatemala, Hungary, Afghanistan, Yemen, and we're only up to 552 AD. I'll flash forward a bit. The Refuge of the World is part 8, Portugal 1267, North Korea 1301, Norway 1349, India 1385, Argentina 1430. Flashing forward again, we have France in 1916, Chechnya in 1939, Russia in 1961, the United States of America 2016. Guess who got elected in 2016? And then there's an epilogue which brings us forward to the year 2080, which we won't kind of spoil it for readers. My question, though, is how do you research all of those places?
Well, a lot of them I have gone to over the years. Not all of them, but a lot of them I have. What I did was I had a map on the wall of the world, and I wanted to keep a good balance between the continents and the hemispheres and so on. And I would look at different periods of history, and was there something interesting that happened, say, in, I don't know, 812 or something? And sometimes I would find an interesting historical event, which I could use to further the story. Sometimes I wouldn't, and I would just let the story happen in a particular place. So sometimes there's groups of chapters, like the in around the 1600s, there's Shakespeare chapter for England, and just before that, I think there's the Michelangelo chapter in Italy, in the Vatican City, and the Columbus chapter in Portugal, if I have it right in my head.
And Spain, AD 1492. Wasn't it Isabella who they dispatched Christopher Colombo off to the New World, only to have in 2020 his statue being removed.
And I quite liked bringing in a lot of those historical figures through it, and the ones I mentioned. And of course, you know, at the very end of the book, we've got Donald Trump showing up to delight us all with his words of wisdom. And I think it's probably the only novel that's ever been written that has both King Herod and Shakespeare and Donald Trump in it. But it's kind of fun to bring those kind of figures in and let the narrator bounce off them.
And what about Ireland? Ireland creeps in.
It does. And I'm not a big plotter in advance, you know. I like to just let the story develop as it does. So I knew I would have to use Ireland at one point, and I waited to see what would be the right point. And in the group of chapters that Ireland is in, the narrator has just lost his wife. And before going on a revenge odyssey, he kind of sequesters himself in monasteries in different countries. And one of them is here in Ireland, where he is working on the Book of Kells. And he's an illuminator, because he's always an artist in every chapter, but just a different type. He's always a creator of some sort. So I use the Irish chapter. I put him in the monastery with the monks, drawing one single page of the Book of Kells.
Which we'll all be rushing into Trinity College to figure out which one you're referring to. The scope of the novel is so enormous, literally from the beginning of Christianity with the birth of Jesus and the killing of the babies by order of King Herod, right up to the present day. And it means that you stick your head above the parapet quite a bit for people who are going to try and find flaws in the scope of your book, simply because, you know, there might be someone who's an expert in Shakespeare's England who'll have a go at that. There might be someone else who'll be an expert in 14th century India who'll have a go at that.
Yeah, I think that's always going to happen when you write any kind of historical novel. I have had my share over the years of, you know, letters with sort of, "Dear Mr. Boyne, I was enjoying your book until page 3, you know, when when something happens. And I'm not sure if you saw the thing yesterday. It turns out that I made one massive error in one of the chapters, where I'm referring to a dye that's used to dye a dress red. And I googled how to dye or what the ingredients are for red dye, and in my rush, maybe I wrote down these ingredients, but it turned out it was the ingredients from a video game. And I'm not even a video gamer, and it was something to do with Zelda, the queen of the forest or something. And I took these various ingredients that are used to kill people in the video game. Yeah. And somebody recognized this and
said, uh-oh, yeah. So we got him. And you will get, anachronisms. I think one of the reviews pointing out that you used names in South America that were, you know, Spanish names, which only arrived when the Spaniards had arrived. So that kind of thing, I mean, does it bother you now? After your last adventure in the press and on Twitter, have you developed a thicker skin, John?
I don't think my skin is that thick, to be honest. I'm like anybody, I can be a little bit sensitive, maybe. I think there are some things you just have to laugh at. You know, like the story I was just recounting about the video game. You can't take yourself too seriously. You have to be able to kind of join in the laughter on that. I think other times I feel like, as a reader myself, I'm not sure I read books in order to look for the mistakes and then kind of tell the author, well, I'm smarter than you because I found this. You know, I think you can just kind of like just let yourself go with the book. And I'm not entirely sure it matters if a name isn't you know, didn't arrive until 50 years later. It's, but you know, we all read in different ways, and that's fine. I don't get worried about sort of reviews and things in that sense. I'm not very sensitive in that way, but I think sometimes people can be maybe. They can forget that, you know, online or something, that there's an actual human being on the other end of the criticisms.
And your next effort, what are you writing now?
I'm actually writing a comedy. And would you believe I'm writing a comedy about social media, which seems like, you know, of all the stupid...
I can see that head poking above the parapet yet again.
Of all the stupid things I could possibly do in my life, this is probably the number one most stupid thing. But I guess because over the last few years, you know, I've found myself embroiled in various dramas. And that is what a writer does. You know, you take experiences from your life and that interest you. You know, I've grown very interested in why anybody speaks the way they do on social media, and I wanted to turn that into a book. But it's a complete comedy, and you'll be interested to know that the central character, in fact, is an interviewer who interviews lots of celebrities and things. But it's not based on you. You don't need to worry too much.
I hope you have any resemblance to persons living or dead. Yeah, it's purely coincidental.
But I just wanted to write something funny, and I'm also trying to write. I've never written a script before, and during the lockdown, I started writing a script for a television show. And I don't know if it's any good or not. I don't know if it'll get made, but I'm kind of giving it a crack. You know, I always thought it was something I wasn't going to be able to do, but then I see a lot of my peers doing it, and I think, well, you know, may as well give it a shot.
Why not? Well, the current book is called A Traveller at the Gates of Wisdom. It's a great read. I think people will be carried on by the narrative in spite of its changing time and place and all of that. It's available online and, of course, in all bookshops. And the author, John Boyne, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.